Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Anfield Index podcast. I'm Trev Downey. I am here, as you know, in beautiful rural Ireland and raring to go for a chat with my old mucker, Lisa Marie Hanahan. How are you, my friend?
I am very happy it's Friday, Trev. How about yourself?
Yeah, I can very much relate to that. It was one of those weeks. It seemed interminable for me. And as a result, yeah, I'm right where you are. We have, on the back of some very strange planning, an extended weekend this weekend because it's a bank holiday over here. And then
the
geniuses I work with, we have a couple of days to play around with. And instead of coming back later in August, they always vote to come back earlier in August so we can take a day off here and there. Now, the benefit is we have a 4-day long weekend, but I would much rather not have to come back earlier in August next year. But they voted for it again. So just shows you how much sway I have in terms of the general staff opinion. I know it seems silly, but there are three reasons anyone becomes a teacher, and they are June, July, and August. And anything else is a lie. So if you start fucking around my August, I get antsy. However, we have a 4-day long weekend, so I will lean into that. We'll be able to do that over here in the comparative peace of Ireland's mundane early summer, late spring weather. You, however, have to face a biblical onslaught. Explain to our listeners what exactly is happening your end with the cicadas.
So yes, so there are two species of cicadas that are found in this part of the country, and they're one is on a 13-year cycle, and the other one is on a 17-year cycle. But this year, and it's the first time in I want to say since the early 1800s, both cycles are hitting at the same time. So we've got the 13 and the 17 hatching even as we speak. If I listen closely, I think I can hear them clawing out of their little whatever they're in. So yes, they don't hurt you. They don't bite. They don't. They're just very, very loud when they're in their little mating thing. I think their life cycle is like, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks or something. But of course, they don't all hatch on the same day. So, you know, it's generally about 6 to 8 weeks, you know, from the first sighting till they all, you know, have mated and laid their eggs and died off. But yes, now the plus to all the growth in my area, because these things, they, you know, hatch or whatever, and they bury in the ground at the roots of the trees. But because we've had so much, you know, building in the last few years, I'm hoping some of these little suckers have been like paved over.
Wow.
Because again, they don't hurt you. They're just ugly and annoying. And I mean, the last time one of the cycles came about, I don't remember them being as bad, but again, we've had such ridiculous growth. But I remember the first time in like the mid-80s when I first became aware of them, or the first time they had hatched when we were living in this area. I mean, you couldn't walk down the street without getting like dive bombed by these things, okay? So, I mean, and I don't think they really hurt crops, or, you know, they're not that kind of cicada or locust or anything. They're just annoying. But my daughter is petrified of insects of any type, okay? Flies, seriously. She freaks out over a fly. We might have to sedate her during the 6 week period that these things are out and about.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine
she
that will go well.
Flip out.
Yeah. I mean, just for clarification, because obviously you've gone through one of these cycles before, 13 and 17 years ago. And dare I say it, possibly even a previous cycle to that as well.
Oh,
so, what amazed me about it, because I only became aware of them, I think maybe 4 years ago, there was some talk about these cicadas. And then I think whenever the last thing happened with them, I became aware of it through a couple of different shows that I listened to. And what freaked me out about it was that they've burrowed or buried, like you said, into the ground. So they come from whatever in the ground. Now, I was of the impression that they were like, as you said, locusts, and they can do untold damage to crops and stuff like that. But they seem to be essentially harmless, except for what I gather the main thing is, apart from obviously the likes of your poor, unfortunate daughter who's freaked out by them, it appears that they are incredibly noisy, mostly.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Do they enter your home?
I'm trying to remember. I don't recall that, but I also want to say, you know, the last time this came around, we were not living in our current house.
Right.
You know, we were in the middle of this, you know, this residential neighborhood. And so while there were trees, it's not like we were in the middle of a bunch of trees, if you will. So I don't, and then even like, you know, closest to, you know, as you enter our neighborhood, it was a lot of pasture land. So again, it's not like there were, you know, we weren't living in like the middle of Kansas where you go miles without seeing a tree, but we weren't living in the middle of a bunch of trees, if that makes any sense. So I don't recall it necessarily bothering me inside the house, you know, but if you're out of the house, you know, yes, you are definitely going to hear them. I'll be interested to notice because of, again, our current home is located in a residential neighborhood, but there is like a small river creek that is, you know, just behind the houses across the street from us, which of course is lined with trees. So I will be interested to see the difference in that. So I guess check back with me in a few weeks and I will let you know how loud they are.
Well, I look forward to checking in on the cicada apocalypse. I really do.
This could be an ongoing feature here.
Yeah, I'm entirely fascinated by this as an idea. Of course, you know, it's a bonanza for those progressives amongst us who sign up to the New World Order and all the missives from the WEF, because old Klaus Schwab wants us to eat the bugs. So apparently the cicadas are a tremendous source of protein. I've heard all sorts of people try to sell us a cicada snack. So I can just keep an eye out around your neighborhood. If you see people going with those big fancy butterfly nets, but except 7,000 times bigger, you know what they're at. And for the love of God, don't eat any cicadas until we get some confirmation that they're okay to eat.
I don't think you need to worry about that. I will not be snacking on cicada snacks. That is, I was talking about this too. So I was down in Jacksonville, Florida last week for project and was with a couple colleagues, neither of whom live here in the area. One lives in Florida, another one in the Atlanta area. And I'm like, do y'all have the cicadas coming? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? So, you know, we're looking them up and they sent a picture. And the one guy was like, so these are just like big flying cockroaches. I go, yeah, kind of. That's kind of what they look like. They're ugly.
They're pretty damn ugly looking boys. God bless them. I'm sure we're appalling to them as well. But, you know, it's just a remarkable phenomenon. As you say, the fact that the two cycles align, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully not too discommoding for you guys, and hopefully you'll be able to get some sort of, you're going to have to get one of those COVID era bubble suits that we saw all the really freak show people wearing for MC. How else are you going to keep her
there? A lot of like nature walks or anything
No.
In that time period, it'll be like, get in, get out. I guess the good news is I don't have a child playing any outdoor sports these days. So, you know, that's cool.
That's a win right there. Speaking of outdoor sports, believe it or not, this is a football podcast, folks. And you may have noticed, have very little interest in talking about it because the wonderful hashtag joy and hashtag hope that Lisa Marie and I have hung on to desperately since the beginning of our friendship podcast association has been completely and utterly removed from our lexicon in recent weeks as the Reds have collapsed into some sort of a slump in form that no one could really have seen coming in as spectacularly awful of fashion as it did. Most people would have had an inkling that perhaps the wheels might have just come off and we might not have gotten over the line. But I think there was a real level of hope that we'd be able to at least stay in that European competition. Well, guess that went wrong. And then when the European competition was over, that we would rally and rescue our Premier League challenge and keep ourselves in that race, even though we had started to slip, keep ourselves in contention until we were no longer in contention. And that's gone now as well. And it just feels really weird to be looking ahead to three games, all kind of interesting games, two of them quite big games with teams at the top of the league and Spurs and Villa, and then we've got Wolves at home. And like, if I had a penny for every time I heard Dave Hendricks say, if we get to as far as Wolves at home on the last day of the season in with a shout, we're going to win it, we're going to win the league. And I was like, that's how I framed the Wolves game in my head as a result of listening to Dave's daily shows. And now it just means nothing, really. I mean, like, let's see, can we, you know, somehow keep winning and maybe the wheels will come off for either City or Arsenal and we might finish second. Yeah, who gives a shit, Lisa Marie? I'm out. I'm completely out. Spurs' uselessness has guaranteed us Champions League football. I am just out in terms of caring. I think it's been a difficult run in terms of the exertion, emotional exertion. It's almost a relief to be out in that regard. Do you know what I mean?
I do get what you're saying. And, you know, it's funny, as you were just kind of running through that, I was thinking, I'm like, this is kind of the first season for me as a, you know, dialed in loyal supporter for us to not be trying for something, you know, we're neck and neck with City or maybe, you know, or we're hoping, you know, there's that outside chance that they could lose points and, you know, and so we could nick the league. Or, you know, there's been those couple of seasons where we were really hoping for, you know, we're grinding to get to the champions, you know, into the Champions League spots. But this is kind of a weird sort of, you know, I mean, this is sort of new for me. I don't know if this is, I mean, I'm sure, surely it's something that you've experienced in the past, but I was just thinking in the recent past, you know, there's been something we've been hoping for and holding on for, you know, even if it's been an outside shout, It's been there. Or like a couple years ago, well, okay, the league, we didn't get the league, but we've still had the Champions League, you know, final coming. And so this is a very odd way to finish the season.
Yeah, I think the, you know, the obviously the joy of having three separate Champions League campaigns that ended in finals, that's kept us focused again since you began to be dialed in, as you put it. And that is in and of itself quite magical. To be in with a share of the biggest trophy of them all is wonderful. And then, like you said, we've had those league campaigns that have gone right down to the death. So to have nothing now at this stage, especially when this, there was so much promise and there was the potential of a four different trophies, it really does bite. I think the worst part of it, at least for me, is that I've heard an awful lot of galaxy brain talk, led by the stellar likes of Jamie Carragher, talking about how, well, we were never really good enough. Liverpool never really had the quality. Yeah, I spoke about this with Jan. It was quite interesting. I didn't get into the fact that Carragher had felt the need to have a little nibble at something that I threw out there and come back at me. I didn't feel the need to mention that when I responded to him just once, that he went off into the desert, unable to actually manufacture anything by way of a sensible retort. Because who gives a shit? It's Twitter, you know what I mean? But it was really interesting when I say, oh yeah, the likes of Jamie Carragher who are saying this, that, and the other. Jan's first words in the show this week were like, yeah, that just winds me up. It's just clickbait, you know, that Carragher stuff. Just, I was like, yes, lad, you get it. And it is absolute nonsense to say, oh, we were never really in with a chance. Of course we were in with a fucking chance. And that's what makes it so disappointing, to see the level of performance drop off so much on an individual and a group basis in successive games that, you know, you and I would often be over and back during a game. And it's these kind of quizzical expressions on us and questions of like, what the fuck is happening? You know, it was really, really, really disappointing in that regard, wasn't it? Like, have you come up with any kind of a rational explanation as to what's behind that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Voodoo curse is where I'm going.
I'm into it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't have any other explanation because you said rational. So I suppose, no, I do not have a rational explanation. But I do have a theory that, yes, somebody at some point in time, I don't know, on an international break or whatever. Yeah. Stumbled upon. And I'm thinking, guessing by how many of them have fallen off a bit of a cliff form wise. It's more than one of them. I mean, yeah, multiple people have done something to anger the gods. And yeah, it's just, it's spectacular. It really is. It's very disappointing. And, you know, and I mean, we could go on and on and on about that, but it's just, if, you know, we were writing a script for how we wanted the season to end, I don't, you know, obviously we'd want it winning all the things. I mean, that goes without saying, but you would think, if nothing else, you know, one thing we've often always said about this group of players is they seem to give their all, and it just feels like, and you know, and I don't want to, you know, I mean, there, I don't know. It just, there seems to be a little bit of a lack of effort. I honestly think, you know, not to get all psychological or anything, but I really feel like the emotional drain of Jürgen's departure has just hit them all kind of at one time or something. And it's just, it's very emotional. I mean, you know, these are human beings and they have thoughts and feelings and emotions. And I think it's difficult and it's difficult. And I think that it's just probably, unfortunately, kind of hit everybody all at once and have affected the way they're playing. And, you know, and then, you know, whatever other factors as well. And it's just this unfortunate culmination of a lot of things that is resulting in what we've been seeing.
Yeah, was there a better encapsulation of how awful it's gotten than that much vaunted spat between Mo and Jürgen? I mean, you spoke about a script, and you know, I was talking today with a few fellow oldies on Twitter about how, you know, I used to get a comic. I guess, yeah, you guys call them comic books as well. It was called Roy of the Rovers, and it followed this guy who was just the greatest footballer ever. He played for Melchester Rovers, and they used to win everything, and Roy was amazing and scored all the goals. And it was, you know, that was the basic gist of it. And towards the end of its run, he becomes player manager, and he's still brilliant and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, here was the comic that I was getting. And then in real life, my team, the greatest team in the continent, with my favorite player, suddenly becomes player manager. And I'm thinking, what? Is this real? And of course, I'm too young to know anything different. I think I was 11 when he got the job, 12, 13 when the double happens. And he's there, he's scoring a goal to win the league, and then we win the FA Cup, and he's won the double in his first season as player manager. And you honestly, like I said to a few lads today on Twitter, you honestly couldn't script that. If you wrote that down, people would say, yeah, that wouldn't even happen in Roy of the Rovers. And yet here it is happening in real life with my favorite player and my favorite team. Now, if that's one end of the spectrum of scripted reality, well, I mean, I have to say, you couldn't have done a much better job of what would be a wonderful metaphor for everything going to shit than two of the most famously smiley, happy people falling out with each other publicly in a way that seemed petty and allowed people to make their very worst interpretations and write off the characters of the two men and fall into the usual hell spiral of nonsense for 48 hours afterwards on the Bird app. I mean, I can't think of a better encapsulation of awful than that. It just seemed to really kind of perfectly sort of represent just how badly the wheels had come off our wagon. I'm finding it very, very difficult to get my head around that part, but I really am. I think you're right over the target with the emotional exhaustion thing. It's what I've been saying for a long number of weeks now, because I think you can't ride that wave and have it collapse a bit. It collapses the fuck completely. You can't just have a little dip And then, oh, it's okay, we'll get the energy levels back up. I think when that goes, it goes. And I think that the fallout between Mo and Jürgen, for what it was, fleeting and all as it likely was, it's just this perfect encapsulation of that, perfect sort of metaphor for the whole thing and how it's just gone to shit. And here's the thing, this is the point I'm getting to. There have been cameras documenting this, I think for Disney Plus, theoretically, but certainly there have been cameras documenting the season. And what would have been possibly one of the greatest watches ever, featuring one of the greatest men ever to be associated with the club, you know, leading a charge towards glory. I'll tell you what, Lisa Marie, it might be wonderfully compelling viewing for fans of other clubs, but I do not want to see that thing. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that until everybody was bringing it up, you know, the last week or so, or, you know, a couple weeks as you know, this kind of became a ho-hum into the season. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to that. That's not the compelling viewing I thought maybe that, you know, perhaps it would be. You have to kind of wonder who would even, do they even, I mean, I assume they'll finish it just because, you know, the time, the money, the effort, whatever's been already put into it. But yeah, I'm thinking that's possibly going to be more, I mean, like how we all, you know, watch the Arsenal all or nothing or whatever and kind of giggled and laughed at it. I hate to say it, but that's very well what this could be for, you know, non-Liverpool fans is something to for them to sort of laugh and point at. So, my feelings would not be hurt at all if the thing never saw the light of day, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, it is that. It's exactly that. It's exactly that being held up for ridicule thing that I don't want to see. In the same way, to bring it back full circle, that when Kenny took over as manager a second time, much and all, I was gleeful about it. I was delighted about it. This is my hero. Let's remember this. And here he is doing a rescue job for us. But when the chat came about him taking the job full time the next season, I was like, oh, I don't know about this, because I did not want his legacy to be tainted in any way, shape or form. And it was something that I really struggled with. And, you know, in the season that followed, you have several people, you know, losing faith and talking about him in a way that was very disrespectful. And it was just awful. It was difficult. It was a really, really difficult period for me as a fan. And watching Kenny himself struggle with the media side of things, where he was frustrated. And, you know, he's from a different era. He's not used to having to be completely frank with the cameras, like immediately for 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 minutes. And it was all very, very difficult. And, you know, what you're talking about now is seeing that writ large over the course of several episodes, where, you know, it'll start well, but that's just going to make us feel even shittier, because all that potential that we're going to see goes to waste. And then we're going to see the slow collapse of the morale as well. And I don't want the club, and specifically Jürgen Klopp, who's been such an incredible character in the club's history, to be open to that ridicule. You know, we had a conversation, quite a frank conversation, Dave and I, on the transfer show, about Jürgen and his legacy. And I've had it a few times with a few different people. I had it with Jan as well. And, you know, where does he stand in the pantheon and all the rest of it? I think what we can say, and I think you'll appreciate this, is that what he did is sort of revolutionized the culture at the club and made us completely top tier league challengers, credible league challengers, credible European Cup challengers. I mean, we cannot underestimate what a huge thing that is, because at the end of the day, the conversation will come down to trophies. I'll be the first to drive the bus to that little destination in the chat. And I think it's perfectly valid, and it is the ultimate representation of how successful someone is or is not. End of story. But there is a huge amount to be said for the rehabilitation job that Jürgen Klopp did with Liverpool Football Club to bring it back to the very top of the tree in terms of competitiveness. That is a hell of a legacy, Lisa Marie, to be fair.
It is. Yeah, and I listened to your most recent Mulvey on the Spot. I listened to the first part last night and the second part this morning, and I found that whole discussion you and Jan had very, very interesting, because I hadn't necessarily exactly thought of it in those terms yet. You know, we always, you know, we talk about trophies being important, and you know, absolutely they are, but there is, you know, one of the things that, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I'll speak for myself and maybe a little bit for you, but one of the things that I love about Liverpool, one of the things I fell in love about Liverpool, was just the whole sort of culture and aura or whatever around the club. And I think Jurgen has been the perfect manager to move that forward, you know, to bring it forward from the days of, you know, Kenny and Bob Paisley and the predecessors, and to bring it kind of forward into the more modern era, if you will. And that really can't be, you know, discounted in the long run. Yes, absolutely. It would be even more wonderful if there were, you know, more trophies to add to the count. But, you know, what he's done, you know, to, you know, just to sort of solidify, you know, Liverpool, the club, I think is very, very important.
Yeah, it feels that way. And I think that's, you know, as time settles and the sharp end of the debate gets less sharp, I think that's where people will land. And it's the right place to land. You know, I did my usual, you won't be surprised to hear, I said something. You know, the way I always say something. And I wouldn't mind if I was a Hendrick-style controversialist. I'm not. I say things that I think make sense. And then, oh, man, all the weirdos of the internet come out to play when I say things that make sense. And I've had several, like, fucking spectacular weirdos come out to play.
The burden you pay for your popularity, Trev. I mean...
These people, I'm not popular with these people.
Obvious. Having all the followers you have, I should say.
Well, I suppose that's the unfortunate part of it's a smallish amount of reach, is that, yeah, you will get exposed to far greater percentage of loonies. but it's fantastic to see how spectacularly wrong people can get. And then, you know, you notice them having a big chat about, you know, the channel that you work for and the opinions represented there. And they just don't seem to have any awareness of their own, you know, sort of, I don't know, stupidity in the greater scheme of things. It's very weird, you know, especially when you're kind of nice and pleasant to people almost at first and in the face of their rudeness. And then they continue to be awful. It's just like, wow, you really are a sad, sad, strange little bunch of lads. But, you know, let them off. My point is, and the reason I'm mentioning it is, it turns out there is a very, very, very powerful mix of emotions out there around where things currently lie. And the thing that really got the mentalists motivated during the week was something that I said about the new boy Arne Slot, and how I don't want to hear any further talk about transition. And people, you know, took that as some sort of like I'm Ming the Merciless, who's issuing a decree from on high, you know, like this is me saying what I demand. I'm fucking expressing my opinion. If someone starts talking about transitional seasons, I'll turn them off if I'm listening to them on a podcast. If they start talking to me about transitional seasons to my face, I'll change the subject or tell them they're talking shite to their face. My point is, I don't want to hear any more about it. Look at the squad that has been built by Jurgen Klopp. You're going to just turn around and say now we need some time to bed in. It's going to take several seasons for some new guy to get his style of play, to where it needs to be. I've got no patience with that. And that's my personal opinion. And Christ, I'm entitled to it after 50 years of following this lot. So I find it very interesting to see how readily people are willing to march towards some idea of mediocrity again. Like, at no point did I say Arne Slot needs to come in and win the league. I said he needs to compete. Now, you're in a position of particular interest to me here in terms of your take on this. And I know that from several conversations that you won't simply agree with me, which is always a good thing. So I'm curious to hear, I'm curious to hear your take on this, right? Because we have this new guy coming in. You'll have listened to a good lot of the content like I have. Some of it very informative indeed on the Anfield Index channel. And I've heard one or two things elsewhere as well that filled in background. And I've got a far better idea of who this guy is and the context in which he's operating. And like I said to Jan during the week, I had no idea that Tottenham were in for this guy and that Leeds had been in for this guy. And I did, because I was not aware of him. And unlike several other people, I don't feel the need to claim that I was aware of him. I can just be honest and say I didn't know who he was. And so there is where I am with it. And that's where my level of impatience comes in, because I really wanted someone to be appointed who would be expected to challenge for the fucking league next year, who would be expected to challenge for the European Cup next year. So I don't want to hear talk about this guy coming in and having to establish his own setup and blah, blah, blah. Do you see where I'm coming from that with my level of impatience? And how does that track with you? Does it come across to you when you hear that as entitled? Because I'm perfectly willing for you to say it does. I'm also perfectly willing to admit that, yeah, it probably is entitlement. And you know, I feel I'm entitled to it. So I'm curious.
Entitled to your entitlement.
Yes, okay. That's it. That's it. It's precisely. So I'm curious to hear your take as a far more reasonable human.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.